Amen. I'd like to begin today with a question. And the question is this: how many people do you know who do exactly what they say? Now, before you answer that, let me rephrase the question. How many people do you know who do exactly what they say every single time? Now, before you answer that, let me rephrase the question again. How many people do you know who do exactly what they say every single time and do it with such thoroughness and perfection that you never have to worry about anything they say or do? Now, before you answer that, let me rephrase it one more time. How many people do you know who do exactly what they say, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what they feel, they will always do exactly what they say they will do every single time and do it with such thoroughness and perfection that you never have to worry about anything they say or do, because you know if they say it, they will definitely, without fail, without change, without excuse, do it? Okay, how many people do you know like that? One. Well, some of you say, there's nobody like that. Nobody could meet the qualifications of that last question, except one. And that's the God of the Bible, Jehovah God. He's the only one that can meet that question, because the Bible says he is faithful. Now, I want you to take your Bibles, open them up to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and we're going to look, I'm going to read the first three verses, but we're going to look at one phrase in these verses this morning in the Word of God. And as you do that, I want to remind you that Paul is writing to the Thessalonian church. And you remember, these were new believers. They were probably less than a year old in Christ. And he's writing to them about and telling them about the last days, what the last days are going to be like before the return of the Lord. And he tells them that those days before Christ comes back, they're going to be perilous days of apostasy. You remember, people are going to be turning from the truth and believing lies. These are going to be days when the devil is at work. I mean, he's going to be working overtime in these days before Christ comes back, and sin will abound. Lies and deceit will permeate society. They'll be asking in those days, people are going to be asking a question in those days. You know what they're going to ask? Who in the world can you trust? Who can you trust? I mean, can you trust the politicians? Can you trust the lawyers? Can you trust clergy? Who in the world can you trust? They're going to be asking that. And in that light, let me read verses 1 through 3 of chapter 3. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of God, word of the Lord, will spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you, and that we will be rescued from perverse and evil men. For not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. Now, you know, you come across in Scripture, you read through Scripture, if you're like me, you sometimes things just jump right out of the text, right out of the page. Sometimes it's like when you go to a jeweler and they have that black velvet, and they have those diamonds or those jewels on that black velvet, and they just kind of stand out. Well, there's a gem here. Those first five words of verse 3, but the Lord is faithful. The Lord's faithful. The black backdrop is the last days. And Paul writes this to these believers. He's just told them what it's going to be like in the world. I mean, it was tough during the first century. And it's going to be tough in the days preceding Christ's return. But he reminds them, the Lord is faithful. And it stands out, it jumps out. And I just want to just focus our attention on those five words this morning. But the Lord is faithful. And we're going to look at that this morning. Just go through that and just let it soak into our minds this morning. And first of all, the meaning and declaration of God's faithfulness. What does it mean that God is faithful? That God is faithful means that he is totally trustworthy, dependable, reliable. He will never, 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 never let you down. Never. I mean, people will let you down. Pastors can let you down. Christians can let you down. But I'll tell you what, God will never let you down. Never let you down. You can count on him. He is loyal. He is true. He is constant. He is steadfast. He is resolute. He is devoted. He is totally trustworthy. And I'll tell you, all you find this, if you read, just take a concordance, look up faithfulness. And it is all through the Bible. It talks about the faithfulness of God. All through the Bible. But we go, and God is declared faithful. His faithfulness, listen folks, is not a minor or a secondary part of God's nature or character. The fact that he is faithful goes to the very core of who he is. It is an essential characteristic of God. See, he keeps his word, because if he didn't keep his word, if God did not, look up here, if God did not keep his word, he would be denying himself. If God was unfaithful, he would be denying who he is, because God is faithful. That is an essential characteristic of who he is. And it's seen throughout the whole Bible. But let me just share two portions of God's word. Deuteronomy 32, verses 3 and 4 says this. Moses wrote, "For I proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to God. The rock, his work is perfect. All his ways are just. A God of faithfulness. And without injustice, righteous and upright is he." Moses said, God is a God of faithfulness. Again, in Psalm 89, verse 8, it says, "O Lord God of hosts, who is like thee? O mighty Lord, thy faithfulness also surrounds thee." Not only is God faithful, but everything around him is faithfulness. The declaration of God's faithfulness. God is loyal, true, constant, steadfast, resolute, devoted, totally trustworthy, dependable, reliable. He will never let you down. That's God's faithfulness. Now, the extent of God's faithfulness. Very interesting. And I just want to quote verses. If you're taking notes, just take the verses down. Psalm 33, 4 states, "All his work is done in faithfulness." Psalm 36, 5 says, "His faithfulness reaches to the skies." Psalm 100, verse 5 says, "His loving kindness is everlasting and his faithfulness to all generations." You know, the God that was faithful to Adam and Eve is the God who's faithful to us. The God who was faithful to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the God who's faithful to us, who's the God who will be faithful to all generations. He still remains faithful. In Psalm 119, verse 138, it speaks of his exceeding faithfulness. In Isaiah 25, verse 1, it speaks of God's perfect faithfulness. No wonder the prophet Jeremiah in Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 22 and 23 says, "The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease. His compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning." Tell me what next one. "Great is thy faithfulness." Great is thy faithfulness. So what does this mean? It means that God can always, in all circumstances of your life, I don't care what you're going through, I don't know where you are. Some people come into this sanctuary this morning, you're going through some rough times. Some are going through some relief from some rough times and some respite. But wherever you are, you can count on the faithfulness of God. He will be completely, unreservedly, he can be trusted, depended upon, because he is perfectly and infinitely faithful. He is the only one. He alone is 100% faithful 100% of the time. And we can trust him. We can trust him. Now, I want to take a look at how is God's faithfulness extended to us? How do we see this work out in our lives? And I want to just show you seven ways. And this is, to me, this really blessed me as I went through this week. Hope it blesses you. Number one, God is faithful to his covenants. He's faithful to his covenants. Put down Deuteronomy 7:9. Know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps his covenant and his loving kindness to 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. God is a covenant-keeping God. Men may make covenants or make contracts and break them. God never does. When God makes a covenant, he is faithful to his covenant. Now, he was faithful to the old covenant, the covenant of law. In the Old Testament, he made a covenant with the Jewish people. And you know what God said? Here's my covenant, the covenant of law. If you keep my covenant, what was he going to do? I will bless you. But if you break my covenant, you know what? I'm going to chastise you. You're going to be chastened if you don't keep my covenant, if you don't keep the law. And you know what? He did it. Just read your Old Testament. I'll tell you, when the Jewish people obeyed God, you couldn't have more blessings than he poured out upon that nation. But I'll tell you, when they decided, well, we have a better way. We think we're going to do something different here, God. I'll tell you what, God was faithful to bring chastening to the Jews. He was faithful to his old covenant. But you know what? He's faithful also to the new covenant. See, we're not under the old covenant of law. We're under the new covenant of grace. You remember when the night he was betrayed, he took the cup and he said, this is the new, what? Covenant in my blood. You see, Jesus established the new covenant. It's a covenant of grace. He died for our sins. He rose from the dead. And the covenant says, listen, if you will believe that I did this for you and trust in me and receive me as your Savior, you have eternal life. Amen. That's my covenant. And we can know that we're saved. Do you know what? You say, but Pastor, do you know for sure? I mean, really for sure you're going to heaven. I do. Amen. How do I know? Because I have great faith. Wrong. It's not because I have great faith that I know that I'm going to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven because you know what? God keeps his covenants. And he's made a covenant with me. He said, if I will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll be saved. He said, if you receive the Son, you have eternal life. It's my covenant. And God is a covenant-keeping God. And I know, and I know, and I know that I'm going to heaven. You know you're going to heaven? Yes. If you're here today and you don't know you're going to heaven, I'll tell you what, you can know for certain. You can walk out of these doors saved today if you'll place your faith in Christ. Why? Because you're such a great person? No, you're not. And I'm not trying to get on you. I'm not a great person either. We're all sinners. But it's a covenant of grace. And God keeps his covenant. Boy, am I glad for that. Secondly, God is faithful to his promises. his promises. Here, put these verses down and memorize them, would you? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. It says, "But as God is faithful, our word to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Christ Jesus, who was preached among you by us, by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but yes in him. For as many as may be the promises of God, in him they are yes. Wherefore also is our amen to the glory of God through us." What does that mean? That means that God, when he makes a promise, he keeps it. And as many as may be the promise of God in Christ, when you're in Christ and God makes a promise, I'll tell you what, you can take it to the bank. God's promises, when God promises something, it's good. His promises are good. He's a promise keeper. And when we claim his promises and stand on the promises, guess what? God gets the glory through us. Praise God. Now, God is faithful to all his promises. He's the ultimate promise keeper. But I just want to mention three. He promises to provide for all of our needs as we are good stewards. Philippians 4:19, "My God shall supply all of your needs according to his glory by Christ Jesus." That's a promise of God. He doesn't promise to supply our greeds, but he does promise to supply our needs. And he does that. And it's just like he did in the Old Testament with the children of Israel. This is amazing. When they were out in the wilderness, every morning, God rained down bread from heaven. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine 2 million people out in the middle of a desert? And every morning they went out, and there was manna there to meet their needs. He supplied their daily bread. He met their need. Can you imagine how much that would take to feed 2 million people? God did it for 40 years. 40 years. And they went out and they were to gather how much? A day's worth. Don't gather 2 days, except on the day before the Sabbath. But don't gather 2 days, just enough for that day. And God supplied their need for 40 years. That's our God. God does that. God is faithful. He always, always came through and will come through. And he does the same for us because he's faithful. He's also faithful. He promises that he'll never leave us or forsake us. Isn't that good? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, and the Lord says, "I will never leave you, never forsake you." And you know what? Once he comes into your life, he will never leave you. You know, sometimes we grieve him. Sometimes we quench him. Sometimes we even ignore God. But he's still there. He's still there. He's still faithful. He said, "I'm not leaving you. I'm not leaving you." And you know, even when I am faithless, God remains faithful. And he's there. I'm not leaving. And I'm so thankful for that. Because, you know, if it was dependent on us, if it was like we are, I'll tell you what, I'd have probably left me a long time ago. But God said, "No, I won't leave you. I won't leave you." And that's because he's faithful. Then he promises, a third promise, he's coming again. Praise God for that one. Amen. And we've been seeing that all through these Thessalonian epistles, that Christ is coming again. He said in John 14, 1 and 2, "I will come again." And I'm going to tell you, folks, he's coming again. We know that. We know that because he is faithful. And Revelation 19, 11 describes his coming to this earth. You know what it says? It says, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider was faithful and true. Faithful and true. Jesus is coming back. How do you know? He's faithful. He said he was, and he's coming back. I don't know the day or the hour. We don't predict those things, do we? But I'll tell you what, it's getting close. It's getting close. Even non-Christians, I went to my graduation party in Pittsburgh last week. One of my nephews came up, and I don't believe he knows the Lord. But he said, you know, Uncle Les, he said, I'll tell you what, I'm looking around and I'm seeing all this stuff happen. These tornadoes and these tsunamis and these earthquakes, all this stuff happening. Something's going on. He said, you know what I think? I said, what's that? I think Jesus is coming back. I said, praise God. I think you're right. He's coming back. He's faithful. He's faithful, folks, to his covenants. He's faithful to his promises. Thirdly, he's faithful to us when we are tempted. Oh, I'm glad for that one too, aren't you? 1 Corinthians 10:13, you know it. It says, no temptation has taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, and he will not suffer you to be tempted beyond that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. My, oh my, oh my. There you go. He's faithful in two ways. Number one, he'll not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you are able. If you're a Christian, God will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you're able. Do you know what? Every one of us, folks, has a breaking point. A point that if there were 1 ounce more temptation, it's kind of like a pencil, you know? This pencil has a breaking point. See, it went up all the way up to a certain pressure, then broke. Do you know every one of us has a breaking point? And if we were tempted beyond that breaking point, we'd fall. Because we have weak flesh. Because we have feet of clay. Do you notice I said we all do. And God knows our breaking point. And he said, you have my promise, son of God, child of God. I will not let you get beyond that breaking point. Sometimes I wonder. God allows us to be tempted. But I see he knows the breaking point. And he said, I'm not gonna do that. And beside that, I'm going to do something else. I am going to provide in every temptation for you a way of escape. A way to escape. You're on your computer and pornography pops up. There's a way of escape. What is it? Turn it off. Pull the plug. I try to turn it off. It won't turn off. Pull the plug. Or if you're having problems with pornography, there's a way of escape. Share it with your spouse. Give them the password and don't be able to get on the computer without them being present. Or, you know, get with a brother in the Lord and join Covenant Eyes, where you partner and everything on your computer shows up on their computer and you covenant to keep each other straight and pure. Or if you have problems with something like gossip. I know nobody in this church does, but, you know, I think gossip is the number one sin that Satan uses to split churches and destroy churches. I think that's one of the number one sins. If you have a problem with gossip and you're on the telephone with someone and they say, I got something to tell you. I don't want you to tell anybody else. There's a way of escape. I mean, you can say something like, well, you know what? Let me stop you right there. If I need to share this information with somebody else, I'm going to do that. That'll stop them. But I'll tell you what, there's another way. What do? Hang up on them. Take the way of escape. Wherever, I don't know what, where you struggle, because we each struggle sometimes in different areas, but wherever it is, God said, I'm going to promise you something. You get in that temptation this week, Monday morning, I'm going to tell you what, there's a way of escape. Just look for it. It's there. How do we know? God is faithful. God is faithful. He'll not suffer you to be tempted beyond that which you're able, and will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God is faithful. Number four, God is faithful to strengthen and protect us when we're attacked by Satan. That's our verse of scripture here in 2 Thessalonians 3:3. It says, he's faithful, strengthen and protect you from the evil one. Jesus is our body armor. He's our body armor. Jesus protects us against all Satan's IEDs, improvised explosion devices. Put this verse down. This is a precious verse. Psalm 91:4 says, his faithfulness is a shield and bulwark. He's our shield. The faithfulness of God is our shield and a bulwark around us. Boy, am I glad for that. Because on earth is not his equal. If we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. If the right man weren't on our side, the man of God's own choosing, ask thou whom that mayst be. Christ Jesus, it is he. And he's faithful. And he comes and he shields us. You know, what's our part in this? There's a part we play. We've got to put on the full armor of God. We have got to pray, stand against the devil. We've got to claim the blood of Jesus Christ. But as we do, God is faithful to strengthen and protect us against the attacks of the enemy. Praise God. Number five, God is faithful when we confess sin. You see, what happens, there's times when we don't take the way of escape. There's times when every one of us blow it. Amen? Amen. Be truthful, come on. I'll tell you what, every one of us fall. But thank God, he says, if 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, what's that mean? If we say the same thing about our sins as God says, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But Pastor, I just keep on committing the same sin and I confess it. I've confessed it 100 times. I think it's, will God still forgive me? Yes. He will forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive up to 100 times, up to 1,000 times. God will forgive. How do you know? He's what? He's faithful. He's faithful and just. How can he be just if I've sinned 100 times? Because those sins are on Jesus Christ on the cross. He can be just and the justifier of all those who have faith in Christ. And he forgives you. He forgives me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He's faithful when we confess. Number six, he's faithful to keep working with us all our lives and to conform us to the image of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24. And we saw that before, but it said, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can that actually happen? Oh, yes. You mean one day I'm going to stand before the Lord complete, perfect, in the image of his son? Oh, yes. How can that happen? Next verse. And the Lord is faithful, and he will bring it to pass. Do you know what? It says in Scripture, in 1 Corinthians 1:8 and 9, who shall conform you to the end, blameless, in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ? Next phrase,
is faithful.
That's how we know. Not only do I know I'm saved, this is amazing. I'm going to shine with Christ's glory. How do you know that? I look at myself and man, well, gee, I doubt that if I look at me. But if I look at him, he's faithful. He's going to do it. He's going to pull it off. We're going to shine with the glory of Christ. And folks, like Paul told the Philippians, I am confident in this very thing, that he who began a good work in you is going to complete it unto the day of Christ Jesus. I look at you and I look at me and I say, man, I doubt that. I look at him and I say, you know what? You're going to shine. He's faithful to work with us. He is changing us from glory to glory to glory through the Holy Spirit right now. But it's not appeared as yet what we shall be. But when we see him, we're going to be like him. For we shall see him as he is. How do we know? He's faithful. Number 7, he is faithful. And praise God, and Gary and Patty can give you testimony. Brother Bill can give you testimony. Tom can give you testimony. A lot of people can give you testimony in this church. He is faithful in suffering. Amen. 1 Peter 4:19. Therefore, let those also who suffer according to the will of God entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. You see, when we are suffering in the will of God, God supplies power and grace sufficient so that we may triumphantly go through that suffering. Amen. Now, he's Creator. He can deliver us out of the suffering. Sometimes he does. Other times he doesn't, folks. And it's not health, wealth gospel, because this is reality. Good, much better Christians than I have gone through terrible suffering. But you know what? Through it all, God was there. He's faithful. He is faithful. And sometimes he doesn't deliver us out of suffering. He delivers us through suffering. And he doesn't give us the grace to escape the trial. He does more. He gives us grace to endure the trial. But he does more. He gives us grace to enlist the trial for the glory of God. Can we count on him? I don't know what you're going to go through. I don't know what tomorrow you're going to go through. If it would be suffering, or maybe it'll be great blessing, but whatever it is, God is faithful. He'll be there with you. You can always count on the Lord. Always. I want to go down to number 4 here on our list. God's faithfulness is constant and independent. I think we need to just touch on this. In this way, God's faithfulness is so unlike man's faithfulness. A man may say or think, you know, if my wife is faithful, then I'll be faithful. Or if my wife meets my needs, then I'll be faithful. Or if my company is good to me, then I'll work hard and I won't steal and I'll be good to the company. But you know what? If the company, if my bosses aren't good to me, boy, I'll tell you what, heck with the company. That's how our faithfulness goes, you know. Man is fickle, wavering, inconsistent. Our faithfulness is many times dependent. By the way, God taught me that right from the beginning. It's not in a sermon, but right from the beginning, right when I became a Christian, I'll never forget, God spoke to me within a month after I became a Christian, because I was in thermodynamics up at Penn State University, mechanical engineering. It was one of the hardest courses, thermodynamics, and for some reason, I can't remember, it was legitimate, I couldn't go to class. And I asked one of my friends, thought he was my friend, to get any notes or any pertinent information. And folks, there was a lot of competition between engineering students. And I said, would you get all that I need from this class? I can't go. I don't know if I was sick or something. He said, sure. And I called him after the class. I said, is there anything I need to know, or did you get to know? No, everything's fine. I went to the next class. and we had a major test. And I knew he did it on purpose. I knew it. And I was kind of steamed, but God spoke to me. He said, you know what, Les? People will let you down. But I will never let you down. I will never let you down. You see, faithfulness, man's faithfulness is fickle. God's faithfulness is fixed. God's faithfulness is not wavering. It's wonderful. God's faithfulness is not in any way inconsistent. It's consistent. It's constant. God's faithfulness is not dependent. It is independent. Independent. Put this verse down. 2 Timothy 2:13. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. If I am faithless, God is faithful. You know what I think the greatest example of this is in the Bible? God's relationship with Israel. I think this is the greatest example. Hold your hand here in the text and turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. I just want to quickly read verses 1 through 4. How God dealt with Israel and how God still deals with Israel today is a great example, a great testimony to the faithfulness of God. Look what Paul writes to the Romans in Romans chapter 3. What advantage has the Jew? Or what is the benefit of circumcision? Great in every respect. First of all, that they were entrusted with the oracles of God, with the law of God. What then? If some did not believe, their unbelief will not nullify the faithfulness of God, will it? May it never be. God forbid. Rather, let God be found true, though every man be found a liar. You see, God's faithfulness is independent of us. Praise God. And with the Jews, I mean, if I was God, after a while with the Jews, I'd have just said, I'm done with you. Forget it. But not God. You know, every one of the covenants of God that he made, the Abrahamic covenant, through your seed, I'm going to bless the whole world. God's done it and is doing it through Jesus. The Palestinian covenant. You know what that covenant is? I'm giving you the land. That land belongs to you, to the Jew. From the river Euphrates to the river in Egypt. Never forget when we went to Israel and we saw the flag. Do you ever see the Israeli flag with the two blue lines and the Star of David? I asked an Arab guide, what's that flag mean? What are those two blue lines? He said, well, the one line is the river Euphrates, the one line is the river Nile, and the Jew thinks he owns everything in between. He does. He does. And God is going to give him that land. It's the Palestinian covenant. How about the Davidic covenant? I'm going to set one upon a throne from your loins, David, that's going to rule and have an everlasting kingdom. I'll tell you, Jesus is coming, folks. And he's going to sit on the throne, and the Jews will have their kingdom. Yeah, but wait a second. Look at the Jews. They deny Christ. The majority. There are Messianic Jews. But folks, the majority of the Jews are in rebellion against God. Let his blood be on us and on our children, they said. They're in rebellion against God. I witnessed to a guy on a golf course out in on Maui in Hawaii who was a Jewish fella. And I went to give him a try. He said, I don't want any of that. No, I don't want that. I said, I thought you said you were a Jew. Said, I don't want to hear anything about God. Well, folks, that's the majority of the Jews. They're in rebellion. Why would God keep all those covenants with the Jews? Because he is faithful. He's faithful. And let's not just go to the Jews. Let's go to the church today. Amen. The church today, for the most part, at least in this country, is not what we're not what we should be. But thank God, he is faithful to us. And if we are faithless, if we believe not, God will keep his promises to us, and nothing will separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Why? Because he's faithful. Now, our response to the faithfulness of God. Man, oh man, if you look at this, look at this. What should our response be? And I'm just going to read down through these. First of all, we should proclaim it to others. Psalm 89:1. I will sing of the loving kindness of the Lord forever. To all generations, I will make known thy faithfulness. Tell the next generation how faithful God is. Share what God's done in your life and tell them, you know what? We have a faithful God. Number two, we should praise God for his faithfulness. Psalm 89, verse 5. And the heavens will praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the assembly of the holy ones. I'll tell you, every week we should get up and say, you know what? Let me tell you what God's done for me. Let me tell you how faithful God's been. Now, I haven't been too faithful this week, but God's been faithful to me. God gave me breath in my lungs this morning. God gave me a heartbeat. I got out of bed this morning. I got to church. He's faithful. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Amen. We should praise him for his faithfulness. Number three, we can have peace in a troubled world. Psalm 89, 8 and 9. Thy faithfulness surrounds me. Thou dost rule the swelling sea. When its waves rise, thou dost still them. He's faithful. Charlotte, he's faithful. He's the one that stills the sea. And because he stills the sea in this crazy world where one has to ask, who can I trust? The answer is you can trust God and have peace. Trust God and have peace. Number four, we can place our future in his hands and have hope. Again, Lamentations 3:24, when Lamentations was written, the city of Jerusalem was in ruins. It was just desolation. Jeremiah looked around him and all he saw was desolation. But he says, great is thy faithfulness. And then he goes on, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him. Because God is faithful, we have strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. I don't care what happens in the world. The world seems to be going downhill and going in crazy places. Somebody told me, Paul Carter told me today, there was a couple that had a child, and they're not allowing that child's sexuality to be known. We're not going to say if he or she is a boy or a girl, because we want them to grow up and make their own choice. That's crazy. Only way I can have hope in this world, because God's faithful. Number five, we should put our trust in God for salvation and put away any doubt. Tell you again, if you're here this morning, you cannot trust anything else to get you to heaven but Jesus Christ and what he did for you. It's not you that's going to get you to heaven. You can't be good enough. It's not a pastor, it's not church membership, it's not baptism, it's not taking the Lord's Supper, it's none of that stuff. All that is sinking sand. The only thing that can get us to heaven is Jesus Christ. And if you put your faith in him, if you trust, God's trustworthy. Either he's trustworthy in that or throw away your Bible, he's trustworthy in nothing. But I'll tell you what, we can trust him. If you're here today and have not trusted Christ as your Savior, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess your sin. Ask him to come in, and he will. You'll walk out of this door forgiven and have eternal life, going to heaven. And if you are a Christian, take out the doubt, put in the shout, get under the spout where the blessings run out. I'm going to tell you, don't doubt.
Amen.
Don't doubt. Now, if you are, you know you have placed your faith in Christ.
Amen.
Don't doubt. Doubt is sin. It's not presumption. I think it was Jack Wirtzen, the founder of Word of Life. He said, I am so sure of heaven, it's like I've been there already for 10,000 years. That's not presumption. That's faith in the faithfulness of God. Because, folks, God not only keeps his promises, he keeps his people. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Number six and last. Because God is faithful, we should practice faithfulness. Husbands, be faithful to your wife. Wives, be faithful to your husbands. Parents, be faithful to your kids. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Children, be faithful to your parents and live a life that's a credit to God's kingdom. Leaders of this church, be faithful to your flock. People of God, be faithful to pray for your leaders and submit and obey the leaders of the church. I'll tell you, in this world, folks, in these, I think, end age days, how can you live? Who can you trust? You can trust God because he's faithful. And as we follow him and are faithful, just perhaps, by his grace, one day we might stand before him and hear the words, well done, good and
faithful servant.
May that be true. Let's bow.